Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already January 23rd and 24th. We've already had Martin Luther King Day. We've already had finally some snow. I love to ski, so that helped, I know, all the ski resorts. So winter is starting to feel like winter, which is actually a good thing in some respects. Hey, last week's show was really interesting. We had Deb Bergschneider, who is the dental clinic manager over at the Concord Hospital Dental Clinic, and Deanne Pelletier, who is the Concord Hospital Trust Foundation and Corporate Relations Officer, and they did a really nice job of explaining Concord Hospital's role in serving the underserved population at their dental clinic. And unfortunately, they reported what we know, that while certainly oral health is solvable with going to the dentist, brushing and flossing in between visits, fluoridated water, there's clearly still issues in the community. And they cited, Deb did anyway, many examples, several examples of people have come. And, you know, there was one young woman in the mid-30s who literally had to have all of her teeth pulled. And it's so frustrating for me, being the CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, that we still haven't really solved the oral health issue, because unlike some other medical conditions, being oral health, and my guest today will explain this, is solvable between fluoridated water, going to the dentist, brushing and flossing in between visits. I have four children. They're all in their 20s now. All four of them, not one cavity, you know, in their mouth. So that's doable, and it wasn't because they came from a privileged background. It's just that we had them going to the dentist and we had access to fluoridated water. It was simple. It was really as simple as that. So a lot of things that we do as a corporation, Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, it's not corporate flattery. It's really to get the oral health message out. And we figured out through market research that thousands of people who buy tickets to the Fisher Cats games actually don't have dental coverage through their employer, and they haven't bought it yet individually. So we try to get the oral health message out, and then those individuals can either purchase Northeast Delta Dental coverage through healthcare.gov, which is the public exchange, sometimes known as a marketplace, or our private exchange known as deltadentalcoversme.com. So we're going to keep on the topic of oral health. And with me this weekend, the 23rd and 24th, is Manchester's newest resident, Dr. Randy Tillman. Randy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
I'm sure it isn't to see me during the week at work and then on the weekends too. But in any event, so we had Randy on last time, and she had indicated the issue of this still a major problem in the pediatric side of things. So why don't you just give us a quick review how, I think you termed it the number one childhood epidemic now, right?
Yes, it is. It's really surprising that people don't realize that children need to go to the dentist as early as 6 months and anywhere before their first birthday. It has really become an epidemic, especially among children under the age of five, Tom. Did you know that it is the single most common chronic disease of childhood? Five times more prevalent than asthma, four times more prevalent than early childhood obesity, and 20 times more prevalent than diabetes. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. It doesn't have to be that way.
Well, that's the frustrating thing. It doesn't have to be that way. I mean, there are some genetic medical issues where there's really not a lot you can do, but this is solvable. Since you mentioned, I know when I get when someone recognizes me on the chairlift or on the roads, they say, if I'm walking downtown or something, they say, "Well, when did it switch?" Because when I grew up, you know, you brought the child to. I went to the dentist the first time at age four. So when did the thinking change that you should bring the toddler by year one, or certainly when the first tooth erupts? When did that science change, or the thought process?
That's a really interesting question, Tom, because I myself was not aware of it until about 5 years ago. But apparently, I'm a little embarrassed to say, the thinking changed about 15 years ago. The American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry changed their position. I think, in fairness, though, they haven't really gotten the message out until recently. And now there's a major effort to educate both parents and pediatricians and general dentists that 6 months, really between 6 months and a year, really is the right age.
Now, I know our one of our colleagues, Dr. Shannon Mills, and of course Shannon, he's been on the radio show as well as Dr. Mitch Curry. I think, would you agree that there's a lot more now cooperation and communication between the pediatrician and the dentist, and there's no longer like a dentist has to feel like a pediatrician's taking over the role of the dentist? There's much more cooperation.
There's much more collaboration between their specialties, and I think it makes a lot of sense. We're even encouraging physicians to apply fluoride varnish, as you know. There are programs that are encouraging physicians or physician's assistants or nurses to apply fluoride varnish in the physician's office. If you look at the number of times that a child visits a physician before the age of, I think it's 10, it's 11 or 12 times that there are scheduled visits for all the immunizations and the well child care, the physician has so many opportunities, far fewer than the dentist normally has. And so getting the message of good oral health care out into the physician's office, the pediatrician's office, makes a tremendous amount of sense.
And I think this is important. You had mentioned this is the number one disease. I know from my work from the State Board of Education, after the common cold, the next highest reason for lost school days are issues related to oral health. The child has a toothache. And we also know, as an employer, that statistically, hopefully this isn't true for Northeast Delta Dental since we are an oral health company, but again, the number two reason for lost work days is oral health issues. And so we know from statistics that the utilization, even when a blue collar company has Northeast Delta Dental coverage, we know about 60 to 70% of that population will use the benefit. And sometimes they don't use it because, depending on the employer's policies, if you're gone for 2 hours to go to the dentist, you might not get paid. So a lot of people then don't take advantage of the dental coverage, where for the most part, dental coverage, if you have it through your employer, the cleanings and the visits are going to be paid for 100%. There's no out-of-pocket, but a lot of people don't go. They may have a phobia. They may not want to be docked 2 hours pay. But to me, it's pay me now or pay me later, because ultimately, if you don't go to the dentist, you're going to have something really bad 2 or 3 years from now.
Right, Tom. I think there's a general misconception, too, that if I don't have any pain, if I don't have any discomfort, if I can eat okay, maybe I don't need to see the dentist. So I think it's almost people are taking the easy way out.
And then, of course, our colleague Shannon likes to say the young invincibles.
That's right.
The folks in their 20s and early 30s who basically, because they had fluoridated water, unbeknownst to them, they don't have any cavities or known cavities, and yet they may start coming down with, gum issues and so on and so forth. So I think if you have a dental benefit, this is coming from a dental CEO. So I know that dental insurance company CEO, that people are thinking, oh, an insurance company, they don't want you use the benefit. Absolutely wrong. We want you to go to the dentist. And in fact, one of our new programs is called Health Through Oral Wellness. And many of our groups, we don't yet have it at the retail, at the individual product level, but many of our employer groups are adopting it. And depending on your score, we use a program called Provisor. The dental office does that is. And depending on your score, you may actually need the third cleaning per year. And you've heard Shannon and I say this many times before, and Heather Brown just brought it up on an interview a couple of Fridays ago, but the two cleanings per year is a good benchmark. I grew up with it. Most dental plans across the country, that's the typical plan, two cleanings in a calendar year, but it really isn't evidence-based. Some of us may need three cleanings a year, Randy Wright, and some actually one every 2 years, but the whole point is, depends on your saliva type and a number of other issues. With the Health Rural Wellness, if you need that third or fourth cleaning, Delta Dental, will cover it. So it's really cool.
It's such an important point, Tom, because we have grown up thinking it's two cleanings a year, and that really came about because of a toothpaste commercial in the 1950s. There was really no science behind it, and the science behind it now is that we talk about personalized medicine, we're talking about personalized dentistry. I may need four cleanings a year, depending on my risk factors, and Tom, you may need only one, and that's really the direction in which we're moving to provide personalized health care, oral health care.
And I encourage today's topic, we won't probably spend too much time on health, oral wellness, or how, but if we have a website, health through oral wellness, that's all one word, .com. And even if you're not a Delta Dental customer, or subscriber, or dentist, there's a lot of great information about that. Now, on the remaining time we have before commercial and after the commercial, we want to talk about other myths and misconceptions about oral health, and of course the two cleanings per year was one of them, that while it certainly is a great benchmark, it is evidence-based. So one thing we hear a lot is my impacted teeth need to be removed. So myth, fact, or fiction?
I think it probably depends on who you ask, but the science would say that is fiction. If the teeth are asymptomatic, I know that's a big word, but what we mean by asymptomatic is that there are no symptoms. So they're not painful. It's not swollen. There's no infection. If the teeth are asymptomatic, they most probably don't need to be removed. There may be some cases in which the position is a problem and they may be impinging on an adjacent tooth. But the current thinking is that just because they're impacted, that means they're not going to come up into the mouth and they're underneath the bone, they don't need to come out just because they're impacted.
Wow. Well, that's great information. I knew that question was going to be coming, because when I mentioned to a colleague of mine that I was going to be interviewing you, they had a teenager with an impacted wisdom teeth, so they said, would you ask that question? I said, as a matter of fact, that's on my script. So let's take a real quick one. Diet soda, fact or fiction, it's harmless for my teeth. And maybe give the short answer, then we'll expand on it after break.
Sure. It is not harmless for your teeth, Tom. Diet soda is very high in acid, and it's the acid which is really the problem for the enamel on our teeth.
All right, more to come with Dr. Randy Tillman on the myths and misconceptions about oral health. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm returning with Dr. Randy Tillman, one of my great colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental, and she has moved from Massachusetts to Manchester. And Randy, you had worked prior at Delta Dental Plan of Massachusetts, but you have a long history both as a practicing dentist as well as working at Delta Dental of Massachusetts and some other experience. So we explained this last time, but it might be good for the listening audience to hear all your great credentials so they know you speak with a lot of credibility.
Thanks, Tom. Yes, I was with Delta Dental of Massachusetts. I have also been with other national carriers, including Oxford Health Plans and Cigna Dental Health. I've been a dentist longer than I want to admit. I practiced for several years in New York City, and I also taught at Columbia University at the dental school.
That is really impressive. So when you were at Columbia, did you live right in the campus? Or?
I did not. No, I lived I lived in Westchester.
I gotcha. Great school, of course, and thank you. We're lucky that you've somehow made your way to Manchester, New Hampshire. We have so much going on at Northeast Delta Dental between the Health World Wellness Program, which I reference, which requires... I've made it sound easy, but it's not. It is a great program. It's evidence-based, as Randy explained. I may need four cleanings. She may need three. You may need one. But with the Health World Wellness Program, we can actually determine that if you go through the provisor questionnaire. So if you're a Delta Dental subscriber, even if you're not, ask your dentist whether he or she is using the provisor software. And of course, if you're a Delta Dental subscriber and the dentist is on board with it, if you go through the questionnaire when you have your cleaning and you get a score of 340, 345, you may get that additional cleaning. And the great thing is, it's good for your oral health if you need that additional cleaning, and if you are registered and your group has the program, you'll be reimbursed for, which is great. But we're encouraging all of our dentists to use Provisor, regardless of whether the patient has Northeast Delta Dental coverage. Because, Randy, I would argue that if it's best for oral health, regardless of what the insurance coverage is, that that's how the dentist should perform, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the dentist really should be taking a look at what you need as an individual. And I think it's wonderful. It's amazing that through the HOW program, you have the opportunity to have three or four cleanings a year if you need them. However, if you need them and it's not covered through your insurance carrier, it's still a very good idea to have the work done that's necessary. Just because insurance doesn't cover it doesn't mean it's not necessary. Insurance, dental insurance, as you certainly know, Tom, can't cover everything.
Exactly.
The cost would be prohibitive.
Which is, but now we'll get back to diet soda. But so let's talk about this, the fact or fiction. If it's a good segue, if my dental insurance doesn't pay for a procedure, quote unquote, it's probably not necessary. Fact or fiction?
That is absolute fiction. Just because dental insurance doesn't pay for it doesn't mean that it's not necessary. I know that was three negatives, but dental insurance cannot pay for everything
exactly. That's
necessary.
And that's why it's cost effective, because there are co-pays and it doesn't necessarily cover everything, but it gets, I know when I talk to the dental community, it gets people into the dentist. And of course, cleanings are covered at 100%, the
right.
exams and fillings at 80%. So it will certainly help the parent of the children or the parent him or herself. And I know that candidly, certainly got my kids to go to the dentist knowing that, that Delta Dental would pay for, whatever, a lot of it. Again, they didn't have any fillings, as I mentioned. So for the most part, cleanings were, obviously covered at 100%. And you're not going to, dental plans have maximums typically 1,500. But if you're two cleanings a year, an exam, you're not gonna come anywhere near the maximum. So,
right, absolutely right.
Which reminds me of one thing to say. I often get this question. I'm on the chairlift. Someone will say, "My employer doesn't have it. Is individual dental insurance a good buy?" And so, as I mentioned before the break, there are two ways you can get individual dental coverage through our private exchange, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, and my friends tell me it takes all 45 seconds to purchase a good program, or the public website, healthcare.gov, the public exchange. But this is how I answer it. So it's about, and we know through market research that people are willing to pay about $25 a month for insurance, for dental insurance, that is. And if you think of it, that makes sense, because if they do the math, they're not going to be paying, $50 a month for, if they only need two cleanings or whatever.
Right,
so
right.
So what I always say to the person, if you are, and I guess they're surprised with my answer, but I say, if you have relatively good teeth, if you definitely go to the dentist, if it's someone that looks my age and they're going to start, I know they start needing crowns, if every 4 or 5 years when you have to write a check for $1,300 for a crown, if you can afford that, then you know what? Guess what? You don't need dental insurance. But the person generally concludes, I need that incentive. I need that reminder. I need that Delta Dental identification card. I'm not disciplined enough to go to the dentist. Because obviously, if you're a Delta Dental subscriber and you go to a participating dentist, oftentimes the participating dentist is going to remind you to go. So you have all those incentives. So by the end of the chairlift conversation, I don't convince them to buy dental insurance, but they come to that conclusion. So Randy makes a good point at it. Dental insurance really encourages, the good practice of going to the dentist. So before the break, you had mentioned that diet soda contains acid and thus that's a concern. So what exactly how does that hurt the tooth enamel or whatever?
Well, it's interesting, Tom. For many years, we always said that sugar causes cavities, and that's not completely true. The tooth decay results from repeated acid attacks. So acid is the number one culprit on the tooth enamel. The decay process begins when we have plaque. So as you know, plaque is that sticky substance that forms on our teeth every 24 hours. No matter what we do, the plaque is going to be there. The bacteria uses sugars that are found in food and beverages like sodas and diet sodas to produce the damaging acid. acids, and it's the acids which ultimately do the damage to the tooth. So the sugars are sort of a precipitating event, a precipitating cause, but they're not the primary cause.
And so that also, I know that there's been a big issue now with sports drinks. People think that they're, I'm just having a sports drink. But if they, I know we have an issue with teenagers just constantly drinking sports drinks, that creates issues too.
You really need to take a look at the contents. Just because it's healthy or it says it's a sports drink or it advertises that there are lots of vitamins within a particular product, it does not necessarily mean that it's low in acid or that it's low in sugar. So you really need to look at the ingredients.
Okay, so we've already fact or fiction, sugar causes cavities. No, so you explained that very good. So here's one that I often get. A little bit of bleeding after brushing. That's normal, isn't it? True or false?
That is false, Tom. Absolutely. There are no times when bleeding should be considered normal. If your gums are bleeding, it could be a sign of gingivitis, which, as you know, is an inflammation of the gums and the first sign of periodontal disease. Or it could also mean that maybe you're brushing too hard or you could be flossing too hard. But if your gums are bleeding regularly, I would definitely see your dentist because it means that something's going on that you need to be aware of.
And I always throw this one into Shannon, and I always like to hear his diplomatic answer. So since you talk about toothbrushing, manual versus electric.
Do you know what I say? I say whatever works best in your hands.
Have you been hanging out with Shannon? Because I think he uses manual and his wife uses. And so, yeah, I think whatever you're comfortable. It's the same with, I find flossing, that sort of floss on a stick that looks like a horseshoe-shaped thing, that I floss much more consistently because of that.
You know, 20 years ago, or when I was still seeing patients, and patients would always ask me this question, what toothbrush, what floss, what toothpaste? I would say whatever you're going to use, whatever works best in your hands and you like, that's what you should be using.
I love the answer, and that's how Shannon answers it too. So we're on the same page. Okay, fact or fiction, dental sealants, and I'll ask you to explain what that is, are only recommended for children with a history of decay.
No, that's wrong, and that's an unfortunate misconception because dental sealants are really good for all children. Sealants are wonderful. They're sort of, consider it a plastic wrap that's put on top of the tooth. I almost think of it as a very strong piece of saran wrap that's going to go on top of the child's tooth and seal it so that all the bacteria and the decay-causing chemicals can't get into that tooth. Brushing and flossing are really good at removing large particles, but when the teeth first come in, they have very deep grooves. And no matter how hard you brush your child's teeth, you're not going to be able to get in there. And so sealing them, it makes a lot of sense. It's really been a proven technology. Yep. Very simple, easy to apply, non-invasive. Very easy for the child.
And we have data to support that through the Concord Sealant Coalition, absolutely. So I've got three more areas, so we'll have to do really quick answers to this, but I think it's important to get the information out. So fact or fiction, mothers can expect to lose a tooth with each pregnancy. That sounds like an old piece of folklore.
Good for you, Tom. That's right. It is an old piece of folklore. That's absolutely not true. Some women do have some mild gingivitis, inflammation of the gums during the pregnancy, but that can be managed just by, you know, taking very, very good care of your teeth. You may need more frequent cleanings during pregnancy, but no, absolutely no one should be losing teeth because of pregnancy.
Perfect. Okay. Pregnant women can absolutely never have a dental x-ray radiograph. Fact or fiction?
That's fiction. You know, it's interesting, and that's something that's changed. When I was in dental school all those years ago, we were taught to be very careful around pregnant women. You only treated them in the first trimester and did nothing after that. That's not really the case anymore. You need to be careful with x-rays, but pregnant women can have x-rays during their pregnancy. They should be covered with a lead apron, and especially if there's an emergency and they need to be treated, there's nothing wrong with an x-ray at that time.
Great. It's so good having you because, you know, getting the information, I find the more we educate people, it's better for society in general. So 20 seconds, chewing gum, harmful to your dental health or not?
It doesn't have to be. If you're chewing sugarless gum, 20 minutes following meals can actually help prevent tooth decay. I know that's sort of surprising, but it increases the flow of saliva in your mouth, so it helps to wash away the bacteria.
Well, when we're done with the show, I'm going to stop off and get some sugarless gum. And of course, there's also, as you know, we don't have time to explain it, but there's also chewing gum that has xylitol in it, right, which actually can help prevent caries. So, well, Dr. Randy, thank you so much. It's great to have you on the Northeast Delta Dental team in New Hampshire. I know that you have a busy weekend ahead, so thank you for coming in, 23rd and 24th. And Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.